For the past few months, Chuck Swindoll has guided us through an in-depth study of Moses, a man of selfless dedication. Today on Insight for Living, and again tomorrow, Chuck presents the final study in this classic series. Instead of drawing from the Old Testament record, Chuck invites us to turn to Hebrews chapter 11, known as Faith's Hall of Fame. Is it any wonder why Moses was featured in this passage? In this final study, we'll examine three pivotal decisions that demonstrated Moses' faith, and we'll look for ways that we can do the same.
Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, deserves my all. We lay our lives before you today, our Father. We've been preoccupied with so many things this week. Now we concentrate on you and your Son, on his marvelous life that he lived for us and his death on our behalf. Thank you, Father, for seeing us through this week, a week where so much of the world has known only turmoil, heartbreak, disappointment, danger, and even death. There's so much sickness and sorrow, so easy for us to be caught up in the backwash of life's contingencies. Help us this day to be lost in wonder, love, and praise. To think your thoughts after you. To track a life who lived long before us, who went through similar things as we go through. And as we see ourselves in his life, may we be willing to lay ourselves before you, holding nothing back. Thank you in advance for the things we will learn, for how they will benefit us as this week unfolds. We don't know what a day will bring forth. We don't know what this evening will include. But you are our God. You are in control of our lives. You have written all the inhabitants of the earth are as nothing. You do according to your will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and no one can restrain your hand or say to you, what are you doing? Today, in the mystery of your will, we find comfort, hope, reassurance, and a reason to go on. Help those who recover today from illness and surgery. Give strength to those who adjust to a whole new way of life because of such. Give strength to those who minister to them, who stand alongside and pour out their love and affection. Bring encouragement to the discouraged, hope for the disillusioned, direction for the confused, relief for the burdened. Dear Father, we lay ourselves before you now to hear words in our hearts and music in our ears of that sacred head now wounded with grief and shame, weighed down. Minister deeply as we sit in quietness and ponder that death of the Savior on the cross. In his name we pray. Everyone said, amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. Did you know about the spiral-bound workbooks for our Searching the Scriptures Bible studies? To dig deeper into this biography on Moses, you can purchase your workbook by going to insight.org/workbooks. And now, the message from Chuck called Moses' Faith, Moses' Choices, and Me.
Where is Moses' Sphinx? Why didn't they build in his honor an enormous body of a lion, 240 feet long and 60 plus feet high, and a face of a man 15 feet wide with his image? Why just to Thutmose and Ramses and Tutankhamun and Queen Hatshepsut? Why not Moses? I mean, he's the Pharaoh elect. You can walk from the easternmost section of Sinai up and down to the westernmost region of the Libyan plateau, and you will find no standing statue in honor of Moses. Why? Because of what we find written in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, 24 to 28. What the hot, arid sands of Egypt miss, the scripture contains. This need not take a long time, but it certainly takes our undivided attention to appreciate it. Here is a man who had everything going for him. And businessmen, there's not a one of you that will ever imagine handling enough money to compare with what went into his coffer in 1 year. We cannot imagine the treasury. We cannot imagine the pomp that went before the adopted grandson of the Pharaoh. There aren't words to describe it, or the palace where he resided, or the power in his grip, simply to say, let them die or let them live, and there wouldn't be a question asked. This man has it all. In our words, he has it made. Now, because of three decisions this man made, there is no Sphinx in Egypt that bears his name. The first decision, verses 24 through 26. I have circled the word refused. I'd like you to do the same thing. By faith, when he was grown up, refused. The first decision he made was a refusal to sustain the sinful. Moses, having become great, made a decision. Now, if you will allow me to picture it this way, I think you'll get the idea. Every person, every individual, not once but many times in our lives, comes to a Y in the road, a fork. We come to that fork when we're in school, many times. And there are great banners waving us to follow the route. One route as opposed to another route. One is broad, one is wide, one is well-trafficked. One is narrow, one is rugged. It is not popular. And you come to the why, and you make a decision. It leads to yet other whys or forks in the road, and yet others. Moses came to that when he had become great. He came to the fork in the road when he had to make a choice. Observe in verse 24, he had to decide whether he would allow them to continue to call him the Pharaoh elect or not. The scripture says he, quote, denied it to be said, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's literally what it reads. There was a time, maybe he stood up in a court,
Maybe he said it to the soft-footed servants who waited on his every whim. Maybe he announced it to his grandfather, who was Pharaoh. Maybe he told his adoptive mother, the daughter of Pharaoh. But one day he said, "No longer call me your son. I'm not available for the throne. I don't want that. I refuse to be called that any longer." This man has integrity. He comes to the Y and he makes a decision, refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. How could he do that? After all, he's a red-blooded Hebrew man. He is the catch in the kingdom. He has got whatever he wants, the world by the tail. Look at the next two verses and circle the words choosing, considering. The first words of the next two verses. By faith, when he was grown up, he refused something. How could he do that? Well, verse 25 says, he made a choice. Choosing. It comes from the Greek word that means to take for oneself a position. What did he choose? 25. He chose rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than the passing pleasures of sin. Moses, having taken a position concerning his walk with the Lord, made a decision that was neither popular nor advantageous materially. He pulled off the headgear of the Pharaoh. He pushed aside the palace of the queen. He set aside all of the prerogatives that would be his to enjoy for the rest of his life without question. And he chose to live with the people of God. Don't think for a moment that the Bible is simply embellishing the text by saying enjoying the pleasures of sin. The pleasures of sin are always initially more enjoyable than the walk of righteousness. Always. Initially. Your heart beats faster when you're around it. It is voluptuous and it is seductive. And it feeds the flesh and it makes you feel good. And don't let anybody ever tell you that it doesn't and it won't. And it will bring regular satisfaction for a period of time. Moses chose the path of godliness rather than the passing pleasures of sin. How could he do that? What was it inside Moses that caused him to make that choice? Next verse. Considering. That's why I want you to circle it. Considering, it means to think beforehand. Isn't that interesting? To see ahead. To look further than the yoke in the fork. To see beyond. Moses came to the fork in the road and he realized, if I continue to be called Pharaoh's daughter, the son of Pharaoh's daughter, if I continue to be called the Pharaoh elect, if I continue to amass this fortune and win these awards and gain the statesmanship of these people, I will indeed be in a place where I cannot turn back without damage to the nation, without damage to my soul, because with it come those perks that say, come on, come on. Everybody does it. He says, no, I see far enough down the road to know that that will not be good, but bad. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. That's a great word. Looking away from everything else. It's a compound verb. Looking away from everything else and fixing one's full attention on one thing. Like you did yesterday at the SC-UCLA game. The time was out. The ball was snapped. Quarterback took the ball. You didn't get up and go get a glass of milk. You looked away from everything else and you focused in on that guy with the ball. Are they going to score or are UCLA going to win it? Moses looked away from everything else and he got a fixation on Christ. And he made that choice. You dink around with all the possibilities. You loll around in the pleasures enough. You lose your focus in Christ. It'll happen, and it happens to the best of God's men and women. Don't say you're not vulnerable. Don't say you're immune. We could etch into the face of this pulpit 20, 30, 40 names in our own generation of men and women who walked with Christ, who no longer walk with Christ because they didn't see Him only. I think of Jim Voss, the wiretapper, back in 1949. Crazy guy. He was working for Mickey Cohen and also for the Los Angeles Police Department. He had a part-time job with both. The case of law and crime working together. Problem is, he had to live with Jim Voss. And he stumbled into a tent meeting in downtown Los Angeles, and he was converted to Christ. And his conversion drove a wedge into his duplicity. He could no longer set up the crime or the government. He could no longer live with both hands in different pots. Why? Because he came to see that Christ is to be Lord of every part of my life. Have you come there yet? The reason there's no Sphinx in Egypt bearing the image of Moses is that he refused to sustain the sinful. There is no earthly monument, there isn't even a handprint pushed into wet cement that bears the name Moses. He's forgotten in Egypt, but he's honored in heaven. He gave up the earthly academy for the eternal reward. There's another. Look at the second. By faith, he left Egypt. Now, you circle the word refused. Now circle the word left. He left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. And here we have him again, as seeing him who is unseen. See the fixation? See the focus? This was no Sunday go to meeting kind of a guy. This was no religious hot and cold creature. This man has fixed his attention on Jehovah. And so, verse 27, he determines to leave the familiar. By faith, he left Egypt. Egypt. I've never been there. Some of you have. I don't know much about Egypt, but I know a lot about El Campo. I've been there. Most of you don't want to make a special trip, just in case you're planning your vacation. I was born in that little town in South Texas. I know all about it. I know all the little roads, all the little trails. I know the little drugstores and who lives where, at least where it used to be. It's imprinted in my mind because I have my roots there. But I've left there young in life, and so I really don't know it as well as many that have lived there all their lives. There are men in our congregation who have worked at the same company for 30 years. Would you believe 40 years? I mean, all they know is that company. How would it be for them to just up one day and quit and get another job? A little insecure? I'd say so. Some of you have lived in the same house as long as you can remember. You've raised your kids in that house. And if you have your way about it, you'll die in that place because it's your place. Deep roots. I've got a pastor friend who took the pulpit from a fellow who had been in the particular pulpit 37 years. Oh, he says, Chuck, his voice is in the woodwork. His handprints on the pulpit, they've mashed all over. 37 years in that place. You can be in a place so long that your thumbprint's there. Your head's there. That's what Egypt was to Moses. He knew nothing but Egypt. He had never been to Canaan. He knew only Egypt.
But he left it.
Why? Well, you just read. Because of faith. God led him out. God moved him. He determined to leave the familiar, even though Egypt was in his blood. Negatively, he didn't fear that's always going to be there. He didn't fear what the king would do against him. Positively, he was looking ahead, seeing the one who is unseen. One of our major battles, Americans, one of our major battles, and it's one of mine, is the battle of things, places, houses, belongings, territory. Security is there. That's where we have our roots. And there's nothing wrong with roots. I love those kind of things. I may love it too much. That's why I love Thanksgiving. In my opinion, it's way ahead of Christmas. Because you can't commercialize it. All they can do is feed you. They just sell you food. There's no way in the world they can commercialize Thanksgiving. But give them enough time, they'll probably work out a way. But it's kind of a home and fireplace and hearth and family and, it's cozy and you get all those great things, plus a cowboy game. It's all there. It's all in there. It's just great. Has all the stuff. Now, how can you explain a young couple? How can you explain a young couple? He gets a graduate degree. She gets her degree. They have a baby, then another baby, and they're just getting started. Fine practice or a fine profession or a fine job. And suddenly they announce to mom and dad, they're gone. Where are you going to go? Well, we're going to go to Spain. Why are you going to go to Spain? Going to go by faith. Yeah, but look at all you got here. We just helped you get into your house, pay $25,000 down payment. We got you moved in. We got you going. We got good medical help here. Why do you want to go to Spain? God's calling us to Spain. But look, they don't have any good movies in Spain. You seen the cars they drive in Spain? Do you know what they eat in Spain? You know what they talk in Spain? Yeah. Well, we got to go to language school. You're kidding. No. Why? Because that's where God wants us. How can you explain a couple that'll do that? Pull up roots, go over there, and it could be anywhere. The bush in Ethiopia, in the middle of Europe, in the southernmost tip of South America, in the heart of Canada, in the Indian reservation, right in the heart of America. How can you explain a couple that'll leave all the good stuff? You ask them, they'll say, because we're going to the better. Am I saying it's for everybody? No, but I'm saying it's for many. But the battle is leaving Egypt. It's a risk of faith. It's tough. Because it's born and bred in us to hang on to stuff. You know, if you went home today and your place had burned down to the absolute bottom, just absolute concrete slab and black rubble, you know that nothing of value would have burned up if all the lives in that home had been saved. Because you've got relationships and you've got memory and you build everything from there. He left Egypt. He burnt the bridges. He didn't fear the wrath of the king. He took off. I love the way one man put it. We live by faith or we do not live at all. Either we venture or we vegetate. We risk or we rust. There's no Sphinx in Egypt today because Moses left Egypt. Who needs Egypt when God says, there's an exodus in my plan? If you're committed to Egypt more than an exodus, you're not committed to God.
You're listening to Insight for Living and the final message in Chuck Swindoll's classic biography of Moses. Thursday features the conclusion of this study, And it's important to remind you that tomorrow is the very last day we'll mention Bible study resources for this study. Given that, you might want to access the many resources we've prepared on your behalf. First, I'll remind you that in addition to this daily teaching series, Chuck has written a full-length book on the life of Moses. It's called Moses, A Man of Selfless Dedication. It's 20 chapters long, and it's written in the engaging style you've come to expect from Chuck Swindoll. We've also prepared a brand new Bible study workbook for you. This resource is part of our Searching the Scriptures Bible Studies. It's a workbook or journal that's perfect for jotting down personal notes and observations. Many of our listeners are choosing to use this spiral-bound Bible study in their small group at church, and it's great for classroom settings as well. One more thing, this classic study on Moses was originally recorded on reel-to-reel tape, but we've transferred all 20 sermons to audio CDs so you can listen in your car, at home, or at your own pace. To purchase any or all of these helpful resources, just call us at 800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/store. Finally, as we start a brand new year together, Insight for Living Ministries is looking to strengthen its position in 2025 by inviting new monthly companions to partner with us. Your regular monthly gifts empower Insight for Living to be heard in multiple languages, and anyone with a cell phone can hear the practical teaching of Chuck Swindoll. Joining the team at the beginning of the year makes a lot of sense, and it will help us tremendously. To become a monthly companion today, call 800-772-8888, or you can sign up online at insight.org/monthly-companion. I'm Bill Meyer. Chuck Swindoll concludes his in-depth biographical series on Moses, A Man of Selfless Dedication, Thursday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Moses' Faith, Moses' Choices, and Me, was copyrighted in 1982, 1983, 1985, 1990, 1998, and 2024. And the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.